Welcome to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. That's my main business, and I'd love to help you out. If you got extra pandemic pounds hanging around and you want to get rid of them, I'd love to help you out. If you're anywhere on this planet, I can find you and help you out online. So I do one-on-one, small group. I also do a lot of in-person work in the Twin Cities. So if that's something that interests you, find me on Facebook, Prime Shape Fitness, or primeshapefitness.com. Now on to the off-road stuff. All right, welcome to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. I have my buddies here from Olex Adventures and Van Vans. They're going to talk to them a little bit. One is Cal, and we all know Thomas. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
You have to talk because it is a podcast. It's not
all right.
I'm Cal. Hello.
Cal's new. Thomas has been on before. But first, we're going to talk a bit about the rides that you have. Now, we know Thomas has a couple Jeep Wranglers. He has the LJ and a GL, right?
Yes, sir.
That's not a diesel, though, right?
Nope, 2-liter turbo.
2-liter turbo. Okay, that was the difference. I did drive one of those. I talked about one of my last podcasts. And Cal, you have.
I have a Prius.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You couldn't catch me dead in a Prius. No, I have a first gen Tacoma SR5. It's an extra cab, 6-foot bed.
Okay.
And it's built to go off road.
Awesome. You guys just went on a trip, right?
Yes, we did.
We did. We hit the Mesabi Mountain Trail. My first time really testing the truck out, and went well. It was a blast.
Yeah, it was actually Cal's first off-roading trip.
Yeah.
I took him right to the best trail in Minnesota, in my personal opinion.
Okay.
And I just wanted to see how he could do. I was hoping I could beat up on him a little bit in the Jeep, but, man, that Tacoma held its own. There really wasn't any point where I was like, ha-ha, you can't make it, because he did. He did everything. So
does that have factory lockers? I can't remember if that one did.
It has a factory rear diff, yeah.
Factory rear locker, yeah. Yes. Yeah, and then it's got the – on the front wheels, I do – and most – maybe the Tacoma guys can change or tell me I'm wrong, but I think it's got that front end where it'll kind of grab if one tire's spinning and help the other one spin with that open.
Mm-hmm.
How they have, like, the brake actuating differential.
I would not know.
I don't either, but
I know this much about Jeeps, and yeah. I know even less about
so I can tell you just by the filming and the obstacles we did that his front, if it's just open, does much better than like a standard, you know, Dana 30 open front end.
Maybe has a torsion or something we don't know about. That's,
yeah,
it did
really well. It had a lot of clearance. Hardly was scraping belly. I think I scraped my belly on the Jeep more than he scraped his belly on the Tacoma. I did have a little more front end clearance, but he had really nice rear end clearance too. He had really good like approach and departure angles for a truck. You know, normally a truck is dragging its butt all over, but hardly had any issues with that.
Yeah, we hit the receiver hitch one time.
One time only, yep.
Awesome. Yep. Well, he's going to have that video is up on Olex or no?
Not yet. I got, we had 110 minutes of filmed footage between two rigs, and I've got it down to about 38 minutes right now. So I'm getting there. It's close.
Sounds more right to me.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have probably a two-part on this, maybe 2 12- to 15-minute videos. So.
Okay, cool.
Had a lot of fun. It's a really good video, and it's going to be fun to watch.
That was Thomas, guys, not me. So, rookie
mistake. Life. Too much things going on.
All right, so here's the next question. So, this is – I actually asked this one. I said, don't tell me your answer because this came up on the forums. Somebody was getting their tires mounted on their Jeep. And they said, do I do the letters in or out? And it was some KO2s, I believe. I can't remember exact tires. But and so it was on the list going down, it was 50-50. And I'll tell you my reasoning. Black walls, always out. It makes the tires look bigger, I think. The black walls out. Letters out, I just think looks like a 1970s build, which can be cool. But if it's not a 1970s vehicle, I don't want it. And somebody said, I'll kind of clean it up. He said, well, if you cut the grass, does it make the trees look bigger? I said, yeah, that's the trick. Yeah. And I said, yeah, that's the trick. But no, you know, it goes back. My dad always did black letters out too. So that's why I always do black letters. I thought about it one time for half a second. I'm like, nah, I'm going to stay with the black letters out. So what do you guys think? Black letters or white letters? Black letters.
I feel like I know what Thomas is going to say, and he's going to disagree. But I have got the white letters out on the truck, and granted, I bought it like that, but I think it looks pretty clean, man. You buy nice tires, show them off, you know, let people know what you're working with.
I don't want people stealing my stuff, so I don't want them. I want them to get real close and see all the scars on the truck too. Yep. How about you, Thomas? What do you think?
I kind of go. Mine is dependent on the actual color of the vehicle. If it's a black vehicle, it's always black out. But if it's a white vehicle or something like gray, I like the white out. So I'm kind of both ways. And my dad was always white letters out kind of guy. But my Jeep, it's black on the out, or you know, white in. And I think with the black vehicle, that's how it should be.
Yeah, I think it's easier. Another thing, it's easier to clean because you don't need to kind of scrub. You know, you have to get white wall cleaner, basically get the tires off. This one, you scrub it real quick. And then I actually posted a video. I put Pledge on my tires. Pledge. It helps keep the dust off. And I saw it somewhere else in somebody else's YouTube video. And like, so I went with Pledge. So I cleaned all five tires. Now, if you take Cal here to Gilbert and it's all that rust crap that gets all over your vehicle, you might change your mind because you'll never get those white walls clean again.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's one crazy thing. Mesabi Mountain, that trail is literally within earshot of Gilbert, and it is not irony at all. It's completely brown. Yep, no red at all.
Yeah,
that's checking out. I haven't been there yet, so I definitely want to go. I just look at the distance it was. I'm like, why does it seem like it's further than Gilbert? I just didn't get it, but I know it's in the same region because
it's it's Virginia. So it's 3 hours from here. It was nothing. It was really good.
Yeah.
All right. So we didn't come on to talk just about white walls and or white letters or black letters. These two guys, Cal and Thomas, they run a company called Van. And the reason I wanted to get into it a little bit, because the overlanding world and adventure van, I actually watch a lot of them. I have YouTube on right now, guys. I'm watching some video. But overlanding is kind of really taking over. So I think some people might choose a van style to kind of get to that point. Mm-hmm. And we talked briefly about your company before, I know, on this podcast. But I wanted to get more into it today. Just kind of share with people that the opportunity might have with van. If they want to say, okay, I want to go a little bit crazy. Can I tow my rig with it? Can I do those types of things? I'm going to put it on the tow rig. Because the adventure van world is pretty cool. I do watch a couple other YouTube videos. And a guy has his Jeep JK with a tent that pops up. It's pretty cool. But then his girlfriend meets him every now and again, and she has a Sprinter van. And so she comes out. And you know our mutual friend Wade, he has the biggest van ever made. He has the extended and tall, only single rear wheel Sprinter van.
Yeah.
And it is massive. I helped him go pick it up. It's 23, 24 feet long. And he built a little bit of adventure van vehicle with it. They go camping with it. And he takes a lot of motorcycle trips with it. But I want to have you guys on to talk about your company and what it is and what kind of cool builds you have. When I see these guys build these things on TV, and sometimes they're just guys in their driveway doing it. And but again, they can build pretty cool rigs. So I kind of want to hear from you guys kind of what Van is and typical builds you might see. So tell us a bit about your company. How did it start? How did you guys meet? Because you guys
we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. So we met in one of my good friends and Thomas, who happens to be Thomas's brother-in-law. We met in his driveway. So I was building a van. I had bought, wanted to get into van life. I'm a skier. I spend my winters living out of the vans out west skiing. And I wanted a rig to be able to do that. So I started building one in my buddy's driveway. And Thomas came over once and saw me in the driveway. And I mean, basically it was like, what the hell are you doing in the driveway? You know, standing here in the van, and kind of just hit it off from there. Saw a market for it. You know, if you go out west, especially, you know, jeeping or skiing, whatever it is, you see a lot of vans out there. Mm-hmm. And that market is just kind of starting to hit here in the Midwest. And we just saw a big demand for it here. You know, a lot of people previously driving out west to get their vans worked on, to buy vans from reputable builders. And, you know, we got a lot of cool stuff to see here in Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, that really caters well to van life, North Shore, South Shore, UP, in Black Hills, all that kind of stuff. A lot of adventure-minded, camping-minded, outdoor-minded people bike racers, you know, all kinds of stuff.
A lot of boundary water.
Boundary water people, you know, all the people that love van life for the experience it gives them, being able to get out in the outdoors. We have all that stuff accessible here. And there just isn't van builders that meet that kind of demand here in the Midwest. And so our skill sets kind of aligned well. We clicked really well, and we were both tired of what we were doing and wanted to do our own thing. So it just kind of stars aligned. And we talked about it for really not even that long. I hardly even knew Thomas when this started. And, but, you know, like I said, stars aligned. And we decided to give it a go. And here we are. I think we're probably getting close to the 2-year mark of when we started formally organizing the company. Officially started in January of 2020, but obviously a lot goes into getting that up, starting, getting up and running.
Well, I didn't meet you too long after that then, Thomas, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. For some reason, I thought you were doing this for, you know, 7-8 years already, but this is pretty new company.
Yeah, no, this is very new for us. Yeah, we started, like Cal said, January 2020. Like you mentioned, the stars kind of aligned. Cal was real good with, you know, client type stuff, and I come from a aviation modification background, so I was always doing structural and big, you know, wiring, big engine, big, you know, cutting holes here, adding stuff here. So it really worked out that we both had the right skill set. We both had what we needed to make a good team. So I was building, he was, you know, building the company, getting visibility, getting the marketing going. And we've been diligently just plugging away for the last, you know, roughly 2 years. And, you know, we're starting to get real busy. We're starting to get, we got 3 employees now. This is our 3rd shop in 2 years, you know, just growing and growing. So it's been a blast, you know. It's a huge learning experience. If any of your listeners know, or entrepreneurs, or have started a business, it's not easy, that's for sure.
No.
So what van were you working on, Cal, when you started? What was the van you were on?
I built a Ram Promaster, 159 wheelbase high top.
Okay.
I don't think it's my favorite van. As in the base model, like I would steer people probably, it depends on the use case, but maybe not necessarily towards the Promaster. But at the time it was definitely what I could afford.
Yeah. So, well, budget wise, so that's kind of what I wanted to get into down the road here too, is talk about different types of builds. Now I actually, mountain bike, you know, Thomas and I both do mountain bike races, and there's a couple that would show up in a very pimped out Sprinter van. Like four-wheel drive, long and wide as you can get it.
Yep.
And it just looked like the coolest thing to show up to a race with, because you could sit in there and be in the air conditioned the whole 9 yards. And then this week I was leaving work, my part-time gig. I was leaving it, and there was a van like Wade's, a big long one, but a dually. And I could hear the AC unit running while I was driving by. I'm like, I bet there's somebody living in that thing. And sure enough, there's somebody, you know, kind of getting out of it, you know, getting ready for the day. I was like, they're living out. They're just kind of camped here for the night, you know. Yeah. And it was in the middle of a parking lot at a strip mall. So I've seen those uses in the past. But what's kind of the van that you guys like working on? Like you're saying, like the typical buyer, are they going to come in for a Ford Transit, or are they going to go to the biggest Sprinter, or what's kind of the typical one people are buying?
I would say we like working on any van you bring us. First of all, anything, ambulances. We have an ambulance here today. Trailers, campers, you name it. We like working on it all. We just like getting people what they want, the rig they want. But I'd say steering people towards a certain van, if we had to, I think most commonly we recommend the Ford Transit.
Well, the Ford Transit. The bigger version, right? Because there's those Transit City or something, right?
Transit Connect.
There it is.
But yeah, the Ford, you know, some of the things we really like about it, number one, it's a Ford. You know, if you're out in America, it's really easy to find a Ford dealer if something's going on with it, right? Okay. And most of these people are taking it, you know, pretty secluded areas, you know, kind of, you know, small areas in Montana and Colorado and wherever. You're not going to find a Mercedes dealer, but most likely you'll find a Ford within 20 miles. So we like to steer them that way. But Ford also offers a real affordable four-wheel drive now. So it doesn't just have to be the Sprinter to be four-wheel drive. And then also then the engine choice is a huge to us. And we really like that EcoBoost with the turbos and a 10-speed in a van. The thing's a little rocket ship. You take it out west, you don't notice any difference in performance. It hauls your load around really well.
I mean, it's a van, and you can break the back tires loose. So
if you don't know what they're talking about, out west, if you're at altitude, you're naturally aspirated, you're gonna have no power. But if you have some twin turbos, you got almost the same amount of power because it's forcing air inside there with the turbos. So I can see why you guys would like that as an option for yourself.
Yeah, these people are driving around the world, around the country, and they're gonna run into mountains here or there. And when you got it loaded with your camp, if it's fully built out and you got all your gear in there, you're getting close to gross vehicle weight. And yeah, the last thing you want is to hit that in a naturally aspirated V6 in a 10,000 pound vehicle. You know, it's just not, doesn't work out so great. So
you said you had a lot of people kind of bringing their own vehicles in that they already have. So you're basically doing some kind of retrofit jobs and something that's already done a little bit, or strip it out. But is it more so used or new? What's usually coming to you guys?
Majority of our volume is new.
Yeah.
New vans, but we kind of do two things. Mm-hmm. I'll say our primary business and what we started this on is full custom van conversion. So you bring us a shell, an empty van, almost always brand new. And, we turn it from a cargo van into an RV. That was primary. And we didn't really realize a secondary business until we got into it. But then there's also all these people that have bought vans from amateur builders or from other professional builders or have started to build it themselves or aren't comfortable. And we do part of the work, or we retrofit it. Like you said, they want to add windows, or they don't like their heater setup. They want to switch to like a Webasto heater. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot, or they're having problems with their electrical system because they bought it off an amateur builder and doesn't work. And then
what's the Velasco heater?
Webasto heater. So we're Webasto certified installers and dealers. So we should plug them here, but basically it's a auxiliary heater that ties into your vehicle's fuel tank.
Okay, I kind of figured it was kind of like a pony heater that was in the Sprinter vans that I remember waiting about. So I kind of figured that's what it was. But so it's just an auxiliary heater. So if it runs off a diesel, it just runs off the diesel tank. Now, do you have one diesel or gas?
They have both versions. So, and yeah, these new vans all have auxiliary ports. You just plug right in. It's got already got a pickup and everything. And it's really nice how they have them set up. They're starting to, the companies can see how people are utilizing them, and they do a good job of making them a little bit more accessible for us to work on.
So it's easier for you to retrofit or put that piece in there. I know that Sprinter had them as an option and like from the factories, but that time people I think would use it compared to now in this realm, they would.
Yeah.
We kind of talked offline too about this, but what's the ratio between four-wheel drive and two-wheel drive vehicles you're seeing that you're building up?
I said 70-30.
Yeah.
Probably, right? So 30% being the 4x4s.
Yeah.
Or all-wheel drive in the Transit.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but
we have two 4x4s here right now, and we have three 2x4s.
Yeah.
So two 4x4s and three 2x4s right now.
I don't think people are going to take this actually and go off-road. When I think about overlanding, in the quotation here, I think about car camping. They're going somewhere and they might hit a little divot, but other people are going like rock landing. This is the term I heard from their podcast. They're taking their Jeep and they're going places that you can't get to in a overland style vehicle. You actually have it built up pretty big to go. I don't think you're going to see too many rock landers that are, Sprinter vans or Ford Transits, but
they are, just with my background, loving the Jeeps, I have definitely taken my, it's vans. We have a personal Transit that we rent to 2019. That's fully done. I have, they come with like a 28 inch, street tire. We put 30 inch all terrain tires on it. And I've taken that one it's got factory limited slip rear. And I've taken that one, especially in the winters, a lot of places in the snow that I was literally testing it. I wanted to be able to tell my clients, yes, in two-wheel drive in the winter, this will be fine. But it performed way above my expectation. And I, Courtney and I, and my wife, we also, while we've been out west, we've done a lot of boondock camping in BLM or public lands. And I've taken that one some places that I, you know, I was like, well, it's not going to go through here. And it went through there. And, you know, it, so they're very capable. You just got to be, you know, real careful and not try to get too far in.
That's a two-wheel drive van, that one?
Yep, two-wheel drive, rear wheel.
But I think the four-wheel drive, like for your ski types, I think that would be – I see some skiers like build a van out or a bus or an ambulance. I'm going like, you should probably want four-wheel drive, wouldn't you?
Well, and that's another reason I went with the ProMaster, because I knew I'd be in snow and I knew I couldn't afford a 4x4 Sprinter. And at the time when I bought it, you know, Ford wasn't making an all-wheel drive Transit. And so ProMasters are all front-wheel drive. With a long wheelbase, I think it handles pretty well for how big it is, for what it is. But, obviously, four-wheel drive is better than two-wheel drive.
Hey, answered a couple of questions, because sometimes they come as basically cargo vans and you cut windows in. And we did this to one of Wade's vans where he actually cut the whole thing out, the whole, because it was his white Sprinter was a cargo van, and he put the windows in. I think he did when I say we, he does like 90% of the work. I drink beer and hand him tools. That's kind of how it works.
Hey, you gotta have the helper, right?
You know, he's like, come over and help me, you can drink beer. I'm like, sure, right there. But it's more like, and I don't try to oversell my ability at all on this one, because I would not be brave enough to cut a hole. You know, when you cut a hole, if you guys listening, think about 2 feet by about 2.5 feet. That's how big these windows are, like going in.
Yeah.
And you got to be brave enough just to go, yeah, here's where it's going, and start stabbing and going. I know you guys do a much better, cleaner job than we ever could, but cutting a window is not an easy task. I remember Wade just staring at this thing a little bit, and like, oh, you got to start somewhere, and he gets after it. But what, let's get to the kind of typical uses. We talked a little bit about mountain bikers or people going camping. Can you tow with one of these? So say that I was going to have a, you know, I want to go out west to what, to, whatchamacallit, Moab. Could I tow my Jeep behind us on a trailer? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe you can. With the right setups, these are capable of towing between 6,000 and 7,000 pounds. So I've really looked into it quite a bit, you know, because, you know, in my perfect world, I have a van, I have an aluminum trailer, and my Jeep is on top of it, and I'm pulling it somewhere out west. That's my dream setup, you know. So I definitely looked into it. My LJ is a little bit heavier, obviously, just a little bit over 4,000 pounds. So we'd be right about the max weight. But these, you know, the new EcoBoost, it's really not. It's the tow rating is because it's a unibody. It's not like a cab on frame type. So they're just not like structurally as strong for pulling. They have plenty of power. I mean, it's the same engine that's in any F-150 that has a 13,000 pound tow rating. You know what I mean? So it's not lacking power. It's going to tow your 6,000 or 7,000 pound trailer no problem at all. So
yeah. So I was kind of wondering what the kind of limits were on that, because you got your weight that's in the vehicle too that you got always have to take into account for.
Yeah.
So that'd be a nice rig to take out there, because you have a place to stay. You just got to hit the ground and you're set.
You pull in and exactly. You pull the Jeep off. You can drive anywhere you want. You got a spot to come back to and go to bed and whatever. It's awesome. And last time I was out there, so I was in Moab in November 2019, and that's kind of really what sparked my van. That was like the last trip. I was like, I got to start doing these vans, because there were so many vans out in Moab. It was crazy. I couldn't even believe it. So that's when I came back. I was kind of in transition of what I wanted to do with my life. I like to, you know, slowly learning what I want to do, and just the kind of the stars aligned, like Cal said, and just saw a lot of them out there. And that's my dream, to have the Jeep.
Were you out there for mountain biking, all right?
I was out there for a little bit of everything. We had we did some of the Jeep trails, like we did Fins and Things, and we did a couple other random ones out there. And then I did some mountain biking. I did some gravel riding. There's beautiful gravel roads all over out there. And then just camping. We had the Scamp out there, and we were just hitting all kinds of BLM campgrounds. And
so you had the LJ already at that point?
Okay, no, we had actually, that was our first Jeep, and it was actually a Grand Cherokee. It was that 2014 with that EcoDiesel.
Oh, okay. Now I remember.
A regular head there.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, tell me some about some of the kind of coolest builds you've seen so far. Kind of what are some of the, like, the over the top, like, I can't believe we actually built this thing type of build. and what was it for?
Coolest, man. That's a tough one. I don't know. Over the top, I'd say the coolest one we haven't built yet, but it's coming here in about a month now, mid-October. We're building a barbershop in the back of a van.
Yeah,
mobile barbershop, like full deal, tilt back chair, and they got like the hair washing sink. I don't know much about the inside of barbershops, as you can tell, but building one of those. And
hey, where's this going? Is this going to be like something that goes around cities, or is it drag going south somewhere? I mean,
he's from Connecticut. Modern Shave is the company. If you're out on the East Coast, check him out, Modern Shave. His plan, I think, more is to just bring business to you, you know, high-end clientele. Like, I mean, the world is heading towards convenience, right? Like, convenience is king, and people pay a premium for it. And I think that's kind of his plan, is people that don't want to leave their house, now they don't have to. I mean, you can, you know, you're working from home now. You don't have to leave your house if you don't want to. Let the businesses come to you. And I think a lot of the other thing he's doing is like showing up at like office parks, business parks. People come out and get their haircut, over their lunch break or 10-minute break, pop down or whatever, get your haircut.
I never would have guessed barbershop.
Yeah. It's definitely unique, right? But there's a pretty big demand for it. We have him, he's locked in, and then we got another guy that wants to do the same thing out in California. So looking at those, you know, we don't just do camper vans. We do mobile businesses, done mobile doctor's offices, testing lab,
chiropractors. Tech.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have seen like a van that was for dogs, like a mobile dog wash or something. I thought.
Yep.
We did a mobile, this lady showed dogs, and we built her a mobile unit so she could take her dogs to all these shows. She was a purebred breeder.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we didn't put any sweet shag on the outside, but yeah, exactly like that. We've done that. You know, one of my favorite things that we actually just did this last week, and we didn't build this, but, you know, like we said, we have a bunch of different things we do. We put in, we have a bunch of different companies that we're certified installers for and whatever. And one of these companies is a 12-volt air conditioning company called Cruisin' Comfort. Yeah. So 12 volts, a huge thing for us with these rigs, because normally you'd have to use 120 volt power, just, you know, basically like household power. And you can't really go off grid with that very easily because it takes so much power consumption. But this company has a 12 volt option that's super efficient. But this guy that we went and worked on, he's building I don't know if you've seen the Earth Roamers. An Earth Roamer is a F550 or 450 chassis with a giant, you know, trailer on the back of it. Well, this guy was building one from scratch down in Northern Iowa at an aluminum company that did like aluminum cabs and stuff. And they designed and built this whole thing. And he had us down there to do the ACs, the AC systems. And it'll be back up here in October. But this thing, it was a F550. It had 0 to 8 inch lift at the flick of a button. And it was all hydraulic. It was hydraulic suspension adjusted like 1,000 times a second. It was something crazy. And it was so cool. It had 54-inch Michelin tires or something on it. Just a monster, and a huge aluminum cab on it. And this guy was super awesome. Just the amount of light bars and lights and things hanging off this thing. And it was incredible. And, you know, when I see it next time, I'll show you some pictures. But, man, if I was –
I've seen it on something like this on TFL.
Yeah, for sure.
They have one on there. I think it goes for around $1 million.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that could go off-road. So, I mean, that one sounds a little north of that, to be honest. Yeah, so. Yeah.
You know, I think he's probably doing it a little bit. I think he's doing a little better than the Earth Roamer, but he's building it, you know, he's, you know, putting in the sweat equity and stuff. And he found a company that would custom build that cab for him. So he has, like, he's got this inflatable catamaran that has this engine, and it has a perfect storage solution in his camper to put it in, slide it. The motor sits on top, just perfect. Just the thought that he put into this thing. He had done vans and all kinds of stuff before this, and he is into he made his living filming surfers, and he's lived in all these crazy countries. But when you like see, if you ever see surfing video and you see the guys that are in the barrel filming these surfers, that's him. He's in there, and he's like he's been smashed against so many reefs and whatever, and, you know, airlifted out of the freaking water before, and it was crazy, but man, he's having fun. So he's going to cruise around the country the next 2 years, and he's going to be at like SEMA. They're going to SEMA because he's hooked up with Linex. He's got the whole thing Linexed, and it was going to Linex again this week to get completely finished, but it's going to be a really awesome rig. It's, like I said, going to be at SEMA, going to be at all the Overland shows, and he's just been building on this thing. So it's a really cool.
And you guys worked on the AC. That was
really some of the electrical and the AC stuff. And, yeah, it'll be back up here early October, like 3rd and 4th, I think we're going to finish that all up for him. So we're excited to see that back here in our shop.
So that kind of goes right up to your alley where you said you work in the automotive, airplane.
Yeah.
Aerospace or airplane?
Yeah, aircraft, whatever.
Aircraft. There's the word I'm looking for.
Rocket ships.
Yeah, rocket ships, whatever. Yeah, things
like that. Not rocket surgery, but I can't say the word apparently.
Yeah. No, it's it was really a cool rig though, man. And, you know, we'd love to see some more of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it was really cool. You know, you just never know what we're going to get to see. That's the beauty of our job. Just with being with the companies we're at, we get to see some really cool stuff.
Any other cool rigs come off the top of your mind that you want to kind of share that you've been working on recently?
I think this, like, some of our, like, we got a couple Mercedes 4x4s in the works.
We got a couple Mercedes 4x4s. We're getting into turnkey vans. So, you know, all of our stuff right now is custom to the spec of the client. You know, they pick the color of the countertop. They pick the color of the flooring, exact layout. Any little thing that they saw on YouTube, oh, this is such a cool idea. I saw this on YouTube. We can do it. Yeah. So I think we really pride ourselves in everything we've done. I think every van we built is cool in its own way because it's exactly how the customer wants it.
But now you're trying to get some turnkey where people can like walk and have a showroom model and say, this is our 2021 Olex Adventures or van special or whatever. Yeah. You kind of
Well,
and, you level know, one, level two, that type of deal.
Yeah. Exactly. And what we're starting to realize is that there are people that want custom like we have right now, but there are plenty of other people that just want a van. And 90%, you know, if you have a thoughtful layout, that layout is going to work for 90% of the people that are going in vans, right? So the turnkey option gives us the ability to sell them to people that are ready and have the money right now and are ready to get in a van right away and don't want to have to wait for the custom, don't have to wait for the design process and parts and making all the little nitpicky decisions, which we like to do because we want people to get what they want. But if people don't care and what they want is a van right now, we want to be able to give it to them. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, we're going to build the most badass van we can think of, you know, spare no expense.
Yeah.
You know, we've
let them battle back from there. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's 4x4, like we said. It's going to have big wheels. It's going to have maybe even lift. It's going to have a lot of exterior, you know, big brush guard type stuff.
Brush guard, roof rack, light bars.
Yeah. It's going to be capable.
Nerf bars, you know.
Sliders. Nerf bars that also function as rock sliders.
Yeah.
So let's talk about budget range a little bit now. Say you're building some of these turnkeys because your custom stuff is all going to be custom. It's all going to be apples and oranges to everybody. But say you're going to go in there and you got this, you got an idea, like, hey, I want to be a van man. I want to get into this. You walk into Van Man and you're like, you know, what can I expect for something that's a pretty awesome rig that you're talking about? You can give me a range too.
I'd say fully loaded van, you know, we're looking at entry price probably around 165.
165. Mm-hmm. So that's all ready to go, fully loaded, ready to go.
Fully loaded, and you know, like I said, all available options. You know, big power bank, AC, heater, all the exterior upfitting that we mentioned, windows, flares, body flares, so you can sleep sideways in it.
And this has the interior, like the beds and everything are all built in, the sinks.
Beds built in, sink, dinette, shower. Two person passenger bench with integrated seatbelts that folds down into a guest bed. Storage lockers in the rear with cubbies and bike slider for your mountain bikes. Plenty of room for all your gear. Overhead cabinets. Yeah. Full nine.
What about, do they guys have TVs in there too? Is that kind of a part of the deal? You kind of wire up some TVs?
We do, yeah. We one of the vans that's out there right now, that's one of our full conversion projects, has a TV that's going in it, sitting in a box still right now. But it's going in it, yeah. You know, and we do get some some requests for AV stuff, and that is not our favorite project.
Yeah,
I'll say. to do like speakers and TVs and stuff.
We did like some rear view cameras, dash cam type stuff. Because a lot of these vans, if they don't put windows in the back, you can't see out the back. Like my Ford didn't even come with a rear view mirror because you can't see out the back anyway. So we put on, you know, quite a few cameras now that mount up on the back, and it's your rear view mirror is actually a camera that faces back. So you can always see what's going on back there, live feed, you know, via the camera and the rear view mirror. So it's pretty cool. That's kind of cool stuff, but yeah, we're not building big speaker systems and doing super crazy stuff like that in these, not yet at least. You know, it's just
the thing I see with these vans too is like you said, the rear view camera. But yeah, the other thing too is the front. Like my truck goes like this and then it goes like this. You know, so I have a GMC pickup, and I wish there was a camera up front so I can see, am I getting to that wall on the parking ramp? Or am I getting the car in front? I wish I had that too. I know, so like now the off, like the Gladiator has that. It has a front facing camera for off road purposes and the rear view camera. So
these big sprinters do as well. They have adaptive cruise control, like all the new they're as fancy as you can get. Yeah. So
active lane assist. Yeah. They have some of them have like cross, it's kind of like active lane assist, but it, you know, because you're basically driving a big sailboat down the road, they have like a active wind control. Everyone has a different name for it, but basically, you know, if a big gust of wind hits the side of your van, there's a computer that's kind of helping you
get back
going straight and fight the wind. A lot of technology, because before, I'd say like 5-6 years ago, car manufacturers were not considering customers for these vans other than like commercial, like plumbers, electricians, you know, service guys. They were never really thinking anyone was buying them to have like these driving comforts, and now that people are building them and putting, you know, $100,000 into them to make them luxury campers, they want it to feel like a luxury camper, you know, when they're driving it too.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about your contact info. You guys have a website and some contact info you want to share? Now that was me making noise.
So. Oh, that's you.
That was me.
Yeah. You can find us on our website, vanvanoverland.com. The full company name, we said VanVan all podcast, but our company name is VanVan Overland LLC. So vanvanoverland.com. Go there if you're interested. We're going to start putting more of our portfolio on there. You can get an idea of what we do, but our full portfolio will be up there soon. Contact info is on there. If you're really interested, we have what's called the dream list. Fill that out. Fill out the dream list. That's the best way to get in contact with us, to get in our production queue, or at least to start talking to us about your ideas, what you're looking for, what you have, what you need help with. And that really helps us guide the next conversation. You know, we put a lot of thought and have iterated on that dream list from our experience. And that's what helps us kind of guide the design process. So if you're interested, I'd say best place is go to our website, vanvanoverland.com, fill out the dream list.
You got the Instagram type of deals going on too?
Yeah. Go to Instagram to check out. That's where you'll find kind of our most up-to-date, you know, builds going on. You know, check our stories. We try to do a story a day on what's going on in the shop. Mm-hmm. And we got, all of our builds. And
We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Instagram as Van Overland.
Yep.
On that, if you have questions, you want to email me. My email address is calvin@vanvanoverland.com. Instagram is the best way definitely just to see kind of
what's going on
day to day, what we do.
How was I not following you already? Apparently everybody else I know is following you, but
absolutely. Get those followers. We're up over 1,000 now.
As of yesterday,
6 now. So
All
right,
I get a prize or something. Oh, that's awesome. It's weird because I never heard of the term overlanding until like 3 years ago. And now it's most of the YouTube videos I watch, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's a part of what they do. It's just getting to these off-road locations or getting to their adventure is kind of where it's coming from. And I'm always trying to figure out, I got a big pickup. I go, how am I going to figure out how to just get a bed in the back of this? And so I'm trying to figure it out my own trips and how to haul everything around and do it all, take the Jeep with and stuff. So that's awesome. And you guys are right out of Hudson, Wisconsin, huh?
That's right. Exit 1.
Yeah, so right across the border in Hudson. So It's cool. I'm glad to have you both on, and hopefully we see you guys again sometime soon. And what else to say? I know you guys are going to do this. We're going to get off of this. And then like 10 minutes later, you're going to be like, God, we should have told them about that awesome such and such build. So sometime, you know, you guys are going to be like, oh, we should have talked about that one thing we did. But you know, there's always something else you want to talk about. So down the road, if you got some stuff, they're going to post it all on their Instagram page. I always call it InstaFace. But Instagram page. So take a look at there for the cool builds and the contact information on the website, vanoverland.com. And cool. Well, thanks for coming on, guys, to the podcast. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're going like, God, I want to kind of talk to these guys. Do it. Just get on there.
Reach out anytime. We're always willing to chat.
Yeah, I know Thomas is willing to chat, and now I'm getting the idea that Cal's a chatter too. So
I'm a chatter. I am, yeah. That's half my job is chatting, so give me a call.
Yeah.
Sorry, I look busy.
All right, guys. Good to have you on. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yep. See you later.
Hey, that was fun. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. What are you waiting for? Find me on Facebook, Prime Shape Fitness or PrimeShapeFitness.com, and message me if you're interested in getting in shape. I can work with you anywhere on the planet. See you next time.